This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl.
Minimum wage and what that dollar amount ought to be has been in the news. Most recently, of course, last night, thanks to the State of the Union. But really, minimum wage is kind of a proxy for a bigger discussion about rising inequality in this country. Rich getting richer and the poor not. Harvard Business School historian Nancy Kane is here to talk about what that means for corporate America. Good to talk to you again, Nancy.
Always a real pleasure, Kai.
Couple of ways to go with income inequality in corporations. So I'll take maybe the most obvious one. It is of interest to them because of purchasing power of individuals, right? If there's greater inequality, then the lowest rung can buy less stuff, right?
Well, yeah, not just the lowest rung, but the bottom 90%. Right. So if you think about like how much income goes to the top 1% in 2012, and these are good numbers, it's close to 23%. And the average person in making, you know, in that top 1% makes about $717,000 a year versus $53,000 for everyone else. So just, you know, just very, very rough ballpark numbers. That's a lot of people with a lot less money to buy things and very little hope, in some sense, at least evidenced by the numbers, of getting lots more purchasing power.
Well, and that's the next question, right? That idea of hope. What do we know about whether or not seeing rising inequality is demotivating for those not in the top tranches of the economy?
If you use mobility as a proxy, right? And that's not a bad proxy, right? We know large amounts of social and economic mobility, which do not correlate with inequality,
right,
income or wealth, right, produce more GDP, right, more social order, more kind of, you know, national prosperity and political stability. You know, you can reason inversely that lots and lots of inequality accelerating, intensifying is not a good thing.
What do you make then of the fact that workers are, as has been shown by the numbers every month that we report from time to time in the last 5 years, workers are ever more productive in this economy?
Right. But the way we account for that is that technology in all kinds of forms, right, be it like a better information system for someone at the call center or a better way of timing French fries electronically, makes McDonald's workers more productive. So a huge amount of that productivity is really, ironically, about the use of labor and technology, where the emphasis is on advances in the latter.
That top 1% making the $717,000 a year.
Average,
right. So let's say somebody makes that and has a family of four, and then somebody else makes $53,000 on average and has a family of four. There's a disparity of disposable income, right? What does the guy at the top or the woman at the top do with the extra change that in theory the person at the bottom half or bottom 90% is using to put food on the table?
The vast majority, right, goes into reinvestment, right? Buying more stocks, putting more money in your pensions, you know, putting more money in your bond account, using money that can then make money for you, right, and be taxed off, and if you hold it long enough, at long-term capital gains rate. So there's this kind of very interesting cycle where, and Keynes wrote a lot about this, right? You actually want to put money directly in the hands of the bottom 90% so it will get spent and generate jobs and generate revenue for companies and, you know, oil the wheel of capitalism.
Nancy Kane at the Harvard Business School. Nancy, thanks so much.
Thank you.